Friends, I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that you would give each one of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds would be open to understanding, that our hearts would be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you enjoy that version of the 12 Days of Christmas? I mean, it is not like the old on the first. No. Right? This song is filled with energy. This song is something that I remember hearing as a child, not this version, but this song. And I always thought it meant it was the 12 days leading up to Christmas Day. And that meant that my parents should definitely give me gifts for 12 days, right? I should get presents. My parents did not see it that way. That wasn't the way they understood. And actually, after doing some learning, the 12 days of Christmas I learned start on Christmas Day. And they go for 12 days, and they take us to this day called Epiphany, the day when the wise men or the three kings showed up. That day when they arrived, that day when they brought those gifts, that day when they got out of the way of those who were trying to harm Jesus to come and share light and love with the world. So we get to that day called Epiphany. Now, I want to get back to the song for a second. I remember the first time I heard this version of the song, and I got to the chorus where it said, "What's a partridge? What's a pear tree? Well, I don't know, so please don't ask me, but I bet those are terrible gifts to give." And I thought, isn't that true? I mean, think about it for a second. They're not wrong. My wife, Susan, and I, we don't really exchange gifts anymore, but if we did and she brought me a pear tree, I'd be like, hey, you can take that back, right? I don't want that gift. Or if she brought me a partridge, I'd say, who's going to take care of this bird, right? I wouldn't want those things. And I don't know what you would say, but if you could rewrite the song, what are gifts? You can just shout it out. What are gifts that you would want in the song? Kids, what's a gift you would want for Christmas? I don't even know what you're talking about. Say something, anybody? Pizza. Pizza. Okay. On the third day of Christmas, my true, a pizza. Okay, good. All right, I see it. That works. Anybody else? Money. Okay, all right. Good luck, Santa, parents. All that is going to be fun. So it got me to thinking about gifts that we receive that are a surprise or gifts that we receive that we don't really want. I mean, really, that's what this song is about. My true love gave to me all these gifts that I received. I wasn't expecting them, and I didn't want them. We're in this series right now we're calling Pop Christmas, where we're looking at popular Christmas songs and we're looking at the intersections between those songs and the Christmas story. The narrative that we get, the original biblical narrative that we get of this story of Christ being born. And we're in this season of Advent, of preparation, a season of getting ready for the birth of Christ. And I'm not just talking about getting all your decorations up and getting all the presents wrapped. This is a season of preparing for the transformation that comes from Jesus. A season of preparing for the change that comes. Change is hard. Transformation is difficult. And the birth of Christ calls us to change. It calls us to transform. So that's what we're in, and we're looking at those intersections. My desire, somebody said this morning, I was listening to a song on the radio, and for the first time I thought about how it intersected with my faith. And I said, yes. That's what I want. I want you to see your faith not as a, when I come to church on Sundays, not as a Christmas time thing, but an always thing. And when we look at those interactions, we see them. So what do we do with gifts that we get that we're surprised by or we don't want? I want to share with you a moment that happened to me a few Christmases ago that I was not my best self. I'm going to be honest. My kids constantly remind me about this. I received a very expensive gift from someone in our family. It was a very nice gift. But it was a gift that I definitively did not want. And I have to tell you, somebody told me years ago, they say, Tim, we never have to wonder what you're thinking. It's always on your face. And I looked at that gift giver and I said, I don't want this. Right? Whoever did that big deep breath, you are right. I should not have said that. I was not kind. My reasoning was I was hoping I wouldn't get this type of gift every year and they would spend all this money and bring it to me. It was not my best self. So what I know is we can get gifts and we can respond in not the best way. So I want to look at a story about someone who responded to a gift that they were given that was a surprise. A story of someone who responded in a way that ultimately led to something really beautiful but started off as something really hard. This is the story of Joseph. Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, who ended up being the earthly father of Jesus, Joseph, who was pledged to be married to Mary. In the first century, marriage took sort of a twofold process. You did the marriage and then you did the ceremony later. But once you did the marriage part, you were really married. And he and Mary are really married at this point. They had the legal marriage done. They were waiting for the public ceremony. And Joseph's really looking forward to their wedding. He's looking forward to all the things that are going to happen. I mean, they are fully committed to each other. And Mary tells Joseph something. She says, "Hey, I'm having a baby." Can you imagine his world for just a moment? A world where he was completely surprised. A world where he said, "Oh, no. Stop right there. We can't do this. No. We're not fully married yet. This can't happen. This didn't happen. This isn't right. Something is not right." It reminds me of that moment of the 12 Days of Christmas song where Joseph says, "Uh-uh, I didn't want this gift. This was not the gift I asked for." And Mary says, and the angel says, "By the way, this child's going to be the Son of God." And Joseph goes, "It's too much. That's just too much for me to hold on to." Maybe if you were watching a movie right now, you would say that love story's over. What's Joseph going to do? Many of us might know how this story goes, but I want you to listen to it through the lens of receiving a gift that you weren't prepared for. In Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Now, can you imagine being Joseph? I want you to take yourself there for just a moment. Imagine what this news was like. Imagine as he received it. Look, we're going to get to Mary next week, and we're going to talk about Mary. Mary's a really important person in this story. But today, I want you to sit with Joseph. I want to look at his response and what it says in verse 19. It says, "But because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." It says he was faithful to the law. What does that mean? The law said that if Mary was going to have a baby before they were married, she was going to get in trouble for it. She was going to be put out in the middle of the community, and everybody was going to get to say their piece, and everybody was going to get to judge her, and she was really going to get in a lot of trouble. And it says Joseph was faithful to the law, so of course he had to do that. He was going to divorce her quietly. Mary was to be punished based on the law and have a letter put on her. It was a letter that said she messed up. It was a letter that said she was in trouble. It was a letter that said she had done something wrong. Even though it wasn't the case, it was the way things were going in society. And kids, I want you to think for a moment. Adults, do your own translation of this. Are there moments where you see kids in your school, where you see people in your school who receive these labels put on them because of something that they did? Where from the very beginning, maybe on the first day of school, you had a contest and it was a running contest and one kid ran too slowly and people said, "I don't want that person on my team anymore. They're a slow runner." That's the name of them. Or maybe there's a person that was not very nice and they're labeled as a mean person forever and ever and ever. Or maybe, just maybe, there's a person at lunch one day and he lets out a really big burp and it just happens. And from there on, everybody in the world calls that kid, they say, "That's the burper. Forever and ever." And forever, that kid has to wear a shirt. And that shirt has to have a big B on it. Because that shirt says, "Forever and ever, I don't want that kid sitting by me. They might burp." right? When that kid burps, it smells, it's gross, and that's all. In fact, that kid goes to the next grade, and the teacher says, hey, everybody, as I call your name out, we're brand new, we're in class, and as I call your name out and say your name, if you have a nickname, say it, and that kid says, my name is Johnny, and everybody goes, yeah, he's the burper. Because that's what that kid holds on to. That's what society was saying about Mary. Mary was going to get a letter, and that was all that was going to be that defined her. She was forced to wear it. According to society, this was not of God. This was her fault. She wasn't married. But see, here's Joseph's problem. He has a really big problem. The problem is he loves her. The problem is he wants to care for her. The problem is he does not think that what society says the rules should be is okay. So he does something really, really beautiful. It says, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't want her to receive all that public disgrace. He thought, maybe I can just send her back home. Maybe her parents can hide her. Maybe people will forget that we were ever betrothed to be married. Maybe, just maybe, this could all go away for her and she won't receive the pain of it. But he loved her, so he doesn't want to humiliate her. Joseph gets this gift that he never expected. Perhaps a gift that he never even wanted. He was going to raise a child that was the Son of God, and that's a really big thing. All right, listen, friends. Nobody's asking you this Christmas to raise the Son of God as your child. Nobody's asking you to do that. But there is a gift that we receive at Christmas, a gift that we're reminded of. And I bet if I asked most people in the room, they'd say, yeah, I'm ready for it. It's the gift of Jesus at Christmas. And I bet if I ask most of you in the room, you say, yep, I'm in. Put me in. Well, here's the thing, friends. When we really receive the gift of Jesus at Christmas, it changes us. It transforms us. If you just think it's a nice thing where there's lights and decorations and all that is fun and all that is beautiful, I'm not knocking any of that. But if you think that's all it is, then you're missing the transformative power of Christmas. You're missing how it changes you. So if you want to receive, if you say, all right, 12 days of Christmas, this is a gift I want. I want the gift of Jesus this Christmas. I want to tell you, it's going to do a couple of things to you. First of all, the gift of Christmas at Christmas calls us to keep kindness filling our heart. What do I mean by that? Be kind. Keep kindness at the top. Because here's what I want to tell you. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus from a mean person. No, seriously. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus from a jerk. Nobody wants to hear about Jesus from an angry coworker. Nobody wants to hear about that Jesus. And I'm not saying be kind just because, I talked about it a couple weeks ago. Jesus was not soft, Jesus was kind. But to carry the kindness of Christ out into the world means a lot of things. It means you're looking for the ways to share that kindness. It means that you're looking for love. Jesus lived his life as one that pushed us to be kind and open to others. He lived his life as one that pushed us to not put labels on people. To not say, well, you need to wear a B because you're bad. But see, friends, for so long, the church has tried to put that label on people, has tried to say, you get to wear that letter, and that letter defines you. And Jesus came to break that definition, to say that letter does not define you. But friends, to be part of that, we have to carry that kindness inside of us, and it has to come outside of us. And that means when you're walking through the stores and you're engaging people, be kind. That means with your family at home, be kind. That means with people for whom you disagree, be kind. Kindness is important. And here's the second thing, and this is even bigger than the kindness part. We have to stand up for the vulnerable. Stand up for the vulnerable. Mary was so vulnerable at this moment. Society and culture was not on her side. She didn't have many rights as a woman in the first century. And all of a sudden, this situation could have changed if Joseph would have just turned her in like he was supposed to. If he had done what he was, instead, he saw her vulnerability. He saw that as a woman, she would receive terrible punishment for a gift that came from God. And he said, I can't do it. I can't be faithful to the law in this moment. The law says, this is what I have to do. He says, I cannot do it. So I wonder if you might think about some folks that are vulnerable in your life right now, in your sphere, in your neighborhood. in your friend group. Adults, I'm going to let you do some translating. And kids, I'm going to talk to you for a moment. I wonder, kids, if there are people in your school who aren't as popular. Maybe they're kids that sit by themselves at the table at lunch. Maybe they're the kids that no one ever picks for the team. Perhaps they're the kid that plays by themselves on the playground. Whatever it is, who are you going to stand up for that's vulnerable? Because you cannot say that you have received the gift of Jesus and not act like Jesus. That's just the truth. So who is the vulnerable that you will stand up for? I saw this story on the news a little time ago, and it comes out of Philadelphia, and I want you to see this story.
Body Tonight here, the moment on the playground. The little boy, just 7, and what he said to the little girl who believed she'd been bullied. These 2 second graders teaching us all a powerful lesson. Our persons of the week. Tonight, the powerful moment and the lesson on the playground. Mason and Amira are 2nd graders at Mann Elementary School in Philadelphia. Amira believed she'd been bullied. She heard someone talking about her, picking on her, and Mason with moving words for her. Just listen.
Don't listen to a guy that called you dumb. Listen to yourself. Ignore this guy, whoever it is. Just stop talking to me that called you dumb.
Tell her what she is.
You are smart. You're smart.
You're such a nice friend.
You're such a nice friend, she says. Mason is just 7, so is Amira. Mason taking Amira's hand.
Do you want to go play with him?
Their 2nd grade teacher, Ms. Hatala, capturing the moment. Assistant Principal Arnold Ford sharing it online. It's gone viral, moving so many who have seen it. And right here tonight, Ms. Hatala's 2nd grade class, so formal, saying, "Hi, Mr. Muir."
Hi, Mr. Muir.
Their teacher telling us the entire class is proud of Mason and Amira.
A lot of what we do in 2nd grade is talking about finding forgiveness in our hearts. And I think it meant a lot more to her that it was coming from him, her peer, than it did when I was saying it to her.
And right here tonight, those 2 7-year-olds, Mason and Amira.
I want to help people, not be mean to people, no.
It made me feel happy and warm inside.
If someone's being mean to you, that can really hurt your feelings, and it did. But Mason helped me.
And so we choose Mason and Amira.
Did you see the moment that everything changed? The moment when he looked at her and said, "You are smart." And she went from this to this. Friends, when I was a kid, people used to tell me, "Hey, put Jesus in your heart." Here's what I want to tell you. Jesus doesn't want to be in your heart. Jesus wants to be in your actions. Jesus wants to be in your life. Jesus wants to be in the way that you love others. Jesus wants to be out in the world. Jesus don't want to be hidden somewhere. Jesus wants to be the light in the world. So if you want to receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas, it means it's going to transform you. It means it's going to change you. Change and transformation are hard, friends. But ultimately, in this church alone, if we allow Christ to transform us, the world can be changed. The world can be transformed. So I say, let's be a little bit less like Tim and a little more like Amira and Mason. And let's change the world. Amen, friends. Amen.